It's a real pleasure to have with me Peter Mantis for this conversation here on March the 18th. Peter serves as a general partner of Toronto-based investment firm Logos LP. Many of you will know and appreciate the ideas that Peter has shared in our forum in the past, and we're going to have a little bit of a different session now, Peter, as I'd love to get your perspective on the current moment in market history, how you're assessing the situations and what opportunities you see out there. So I'll just turn it to you to kind of give me your initial take.
Sure. Thank you for having me. And I hope you're all safe out there, and to you, John, as well. This is certainly an interesting time. First and foremost, from a humanity perspective, this is a tragedy, especially for those that are the most vulnerable in society. And this, from an economic perspective, will certainly impact economies around the world as they are shut down because of this virus. No one knows how long the cases will drop. But what we can do as investors in this sort of environment is to figure out the probabilities that may allow us to overcome this and seek the opportunities that may come on the other side. You had Howard Marks, I believe, yesterday on, and I think he said it fairly well. You know, if this ends up being a recession, markets will probably drop 50%, give or take. We're down 30, so we're 66% the way there. It's not irrational to start buying some risk assets, and some are significantly cheaper than they were last year or even the beginning of the year. So if we look at sort of the progression, the best thing that we can do is to sort of use recent history as a guide, and hopefully that's the history that can play out in the future. If we look at the Asian experience, you know, if we look at Singapore, or if we look at even China, the cases have come down significantly, or the rate of infections come down significantly. I think in Wuhan, there's no new cases. Singapore had zero deaths. They handled it very well. So as a society, we certainly can come together to try to curtail this if we do our part in social distancing and containment. I also think as time moves on, there's some hope of a vaccine. I know Regeneron came out yesterday with their clinical trial that's being expedited. Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer are also creating programs. And we don't know of other ones like Moderna, if I can pronounce the name correctly, and some other companies that are working on a vaccine, which at the very least trials will happen in the summer. So that's giving a little bit of hope to the market. And at the same time, there's still a lot of unknowns. We don't know the true infection rate. I read a that yesterday saying 86% of cases are asymptomatic, which means that this could be amongst everyone effectively. So we may find out in 18 months time, looking back, that this has the same fatality rate as the regular influenza A or B, and maybe a little bit more severe, but it's in that range of a low fatality rate that infects a lot of people. And this just may be a staple in future cold and flu seasons. It's hard to make any of those predictions, but it's certainly possible. So, and then this is why, because of all this uncertainty, and we're not sure if I think it will cause a recession. We're not sure exactly how deep, but I think all of these factors together create an environment where you have immense volatility. That can create some great opportunities in the equity markets. I don't know if, John, you had any questions about any particular ideas or.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how you are positioning your portfolio and what opportunities do you see?
Sure. So anecdotally, we certainly trimmed some positions before in February, early February. So we have a lot of cash right now. But what we're looking at is this sell-off and you know, recession, if it comes, or 30% drawdown, whatever you want to call it, really provides an opportunity for what I like to call generational rebalancing. This is where you can start to pick up risk assets that can provide multi-bagger returns over the next decade. And the way we're looking at it is really from in three themes. The first being the emerging market millennial. So we're looking at companies in that space that may benefit from that trend. Emerging market millennial in China, Malaysia, Indonesia is expected to grow rapidly and be a big part of the population. I'm also going to include the Gen Zs in there. They're fairly close. So we're evaluating some Chinese internet names that are well capitalized and have tremendous growth. The second is sort of virtualization of the economy. I think maybe one thing that may come out of this is more reliance on the virtual economy, whether it's e-commerce or the concept of video or, fintech or anything that may relate to automation or work from home. It's a theme that we think has legs over the next 10 years. Gaming, betting, things like that. And then finally, the transformation of enterprise cloud, particularly toward automation and artificial intelligence. And that does play as well into sort of working from home and the virtualization of talent and the workforce. I can give you an example of a few names that we are interested in or that we have been nibbling on. So for the emerging market millennial, one name that we do like is YY, or formerly known as YY, which is Joy Inc. It's $3 or $4 billion. I think it's $4 billion now market cap. They provide live streaming video and short form video. They're effectively kind of like the Facebook of China, but they are really focused on video as a concept. And they had earnings yesterday, which were very good. But they have really a few key platforms, which is YY Live, which effectively provides for live streaming of content creators to on the app. They have Likee, which is number two to TikTok in short-form video, and they have a few other apps in gaming like Hago, Beagle Live, which is in Indonesia. They're very well known for launching apps and organically growing them at very high rates. And effectively how they do that is they sign up content creators to use these apps, and in the Asian culture, there's tremendous amount of donations that happen for performers on these apps. So they get effectively like eBay on donations. So a user will donate to a performer on these apps and they will get a cut. The second stream of revenue or monetization is through ad revenues as well. And they are now playing with some subscription models. So we like the idea of streaming video. Management is extremely prudent. It's a company with little to no debt. I believe they have $3 billion in cash. The market cap is around four. At the time, it was trading at around 7x earnings. I don't remember what it's trading today, but return on capital is very high. It's in the double digits. Same with return on assets. So that's a name that we see has tremendous tailwinds. going forward, given the youth that is emerging in those areas. And who knows, in the future, they recently launched IMO, which is video communications app, which has 200 million users per month. You know, they also own Hua, which is effectively the Netflix of China. So they are diversifying into their other areas. I can see them expand their tentacles as a video company. So that's one that we bet on the emerging market millennial for, and it's been beaten down significantly. I think it was down 60% from 2018. For the second theme, which is the virtualization of the economy, we like things that are the highest quality new cloud kings. So we're very long Zscaler. We think companies like AlteryX or AYX on the NASDAQ provide good value. We think names like Trade Desk provide good value. So I think buying some of those names now may, they could certainly go down further, but they are within the themes that we're interested in. So Zscaler provides cloud security for those logging in remotely, VPNs and accessing those cloud applications. It's one of the leaders in that area, if not the leader. AlteryX provides analytic and machine learning software for business analysts. It has a tremendous total addressable market with very high returns on capital. And Trade Desk provides automation of live media buying for advertising. So all those are related. The workforce is sort of going to a more virtual place. These are the tools that they're going to need in the future. These revenues are all recurring, and all the gross margins are in the 75 to 85%. So those are the names. Those are the kinds of businesses that we're interested in this environment. The final one is the enterprise cloud, and that somewhat touches on the second point. But we're looking at names like ServiceNow, which is it's a very large business. You know, Microsoft has become a little more interesting, but because of its size, it's not a top priority for the watch list. But we're looking at those kinds of names in terms of the cloud, the enterprise cloud being transformed in the future. And again, like a company like Zscaler, which can tap into the second and the third, is certainly something that we're also bullish on. Another name that we welcome for some time is Activision Blizzard. I think earnings will be okay, especially when people are staying at home gaming all day. And it's, we think, still not an expensive stock. So those are sort of the key core themes that we like, and some of the names that we're monitoring.
And how do you think about how aggressive to get at this time in terms of deploying your cash or rebalancing the portfolio in various ways?
I mean, I will reiterate what Mark said, which is, you know, if this becomes a recession and you're probably going to see 50%, it's not irrational to start buying at B levels. You know, I don't know when a bottom will be. The speed of volatility certainly indicates that this is a flush, and typically flushes don't create bottoms. So maybe the probability of a bottom isn't here just yet. Maybe not that high. We might be getting closer. But for some of these names that have sold off, I mean, if the market's down 30, these names are down 40 to 60%. So, and they're high growing, well capitalized, high quality businesses with strong free cash flow. I'd be interested in at least nibbling a little bit here. again, we the further the market goes down, the more aggressive we will get. But we have nibbled on some of these names on the way down.
How do you spend your time these days? Have you changed your routine at all, or what you're prioritizing?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen the inside of my home a bit more often. That's certainly changed a little bit, but we're in Toronto, which has a few cases, and it's sort of following the US. So we you know I we still I still go for walks here and there. I try to be active. The routine hasn't changed that much. I think it's just become a little more isolated within the home. But I you know we try our best to bring as much normalcy to our lives as possible.
Sounds good. Peter, do you have any advice for our members in terms of how to keep a level head in this, stay rational, and kind of not panic, as it were?
Yeah, I think first and foremost is stay safe. Certainly don't panic for anything. And I will just go back to what Mark said. I think he mentioned this in his book, or he definitely mentioned this in his previous books. The pendulum has swung viciously back to the other side. Earlier in the year, it swung to overly or maybe high optimism, and now it's high pessimism. And it's during those kinds of times where I would be more interested in deploying more cash to purchase the assets above. And I think this is an opportune time for investors to really critically think about their portfolio. And like I said, I think this is an opportunity. If this becomes the recession that I think many people think, and this creates a large drawdown in the equity markets, then this is an opportunity to generationally rebalance the portfolio for multi-baggers. And that means that probably avoiding banks, probably avoiding airlines, probably avoiding anything real estate or anything energy, and looking at things that, or tourism or leisure. Now there may be opportunities in those areas, but we're taking this approach where it's an opportunity to generationally rebalance into some of these mega tailwinds that we think have a very long period of time. So if investors stick to their strategy, recognize the opportunity, and slowly act, because again, this market moves incredibly fast, I think in 5, 10 years, everyone will be fine. They'll be fine. So that's my advice.
Are you selling anything in your portfolio to make way for even better opportunities?
We've sold earlier. We also hedged. So we short the Dow a couple weeks ago, and we sold a few. We sold all our Canadian positions. So this is in February-ish. So just because we thought as the virus started to sort of progress that this may create a significant drawdown, and therefore allowed us to say, hey, maybe this is an opportunity for us to rebalance the entire portfolio into these core themes, right? If you look at 09 or 08, right, that was another generational opportunity to rebalance. The trade in 09 and 08 wasn't to buy back the banks or to buy back real estate or mortgage-backed securities or to buy gold. It was to buy the Cloud Kings, the ServiceNows, the Workdays, the Salesforce, the Microsofts, the Amazons. Those are the things that have done 14, 15, 16 times your money. We think that the current environment is not so dissimilar to that in the sense that you may get a large drawdown, but it's a little different in the sense that the economy wasn't deteriorating before. And this is a vicious crash versus 08, it was slow burning plus intermittent crashes. We think this presents a similar opportunity, though, that these sort of next generation themes focused on Chinese internet and some of these newer cloud companies can provide with those kinds of returns over the next 10 years.
Well, Peter, I think I'll leave it there. Do you have any final comments, thoughts, remarks?
But I think the best way is to, you know, stay the course, don't panic, and you know, as Mark said previously, just take a temperature of the market. And the temperature right now is a little bit of a fever, no pun intended, and this too shall pass.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for taking the time to share your perspective. I wish you and your family all the very best in this time.
Thank you, John. Same to you.
Thank you. Goodbye for now.